IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, brothers and sisters from all around the world You are listening my voice from IRIB English Radio And today I have the honor to be the host of today's episode I am Vita at your service And with me I have two dear guests Brother Ali, hello, how are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum, thank
you Assalamu alaikum
and for inviting me, it's a pleasure to be here
It's a pleasure for me too And brother Amit here
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, we're going to go through our topic today. As you know, all the women around the world are somehow different and making hijab or something like that. But one of the most important signs of Islamic women and Muslims who are women is hijab. And we are known around the world by our hijab and the way we are appear in the society actually so let me just disagree with one thing that okay we have to accept the sharia and there are some details in this sharia and just you cannot choose something because this is not selective okay mm-hmm. and now you're telling me that okay because there are some differences between social worships and personal worships when you act like okay I'm in a social atmosphere so I have to act as a way I look like somehow religious I have to be something like that And I think this leads to some hypocrisy or like someone who is double-faced. You know, you're just acting like, okay, I'm a good person, but this first, because I'm in society and there are other people who have rights, I have to be like that. But when I'm at home, okay, I'm okay. I can do whatever I want. There is no connection with, but you know, it's like you are acting, mm-hmm. you know, it's fake, in my opinion.
It's a very beautiful question that you actually proposed here. But look, when we are talking about the social rights of the people in an Islamic mm-hmm. environment, it doesn't mean that if you are even necessarily Muslim, even if you are not a Muslim, you have to again perform, you have to again oblige yourself to be like the rules of the society.
Yeah.
So we are not talking about, a society who are exclusively Muslims. Even, for example, at the time of, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the other followers of other religions were obliged to follow the rules that have been legislated by the mm-hmm. Islamic government. You see? So from this point, we understand that this double face that you are talking about will vanish. Because wherever you enter, let's say in an organization or in an office, you have to observe some dressing codes. It is widely accepted by the whole
yeah.
world. So this dressing code, in case you are going to enter and accept the rules of that organization, let's say that department, you yourself will try to dress yourself in the same way that they are asking you, right?
Yeah.
So it does not mean that you are showing something as a double-faced person, right?
I understood it. You know, you just can't risk me. But the thing is, hijab is something like, okay, there are so many degrees of dressing codes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can just act as a woman who just lives in, for example, London, and she's actually covering herself in her level, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, there is a question here that, for example, in the heat of the summer, why should I wear chador? Why should I wear, for example, a scarf or something? And why should I bother myself rather than telling the men gender to just close their eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So where is the border here? If you're proposing that, okay, it shouldn't be the headscarf, it shouldn't be this, it shouldn't be that. What are you exactly proposing? If it's the summer heat, then the best way to probably have yourself cool down is to go and swim naked in a swimming pool. Maybe with people or without people, that doesn't matter. But that the border that you're proposing, where does it end? There is no border if you say, okay, I'm going to take off my headscarf. Okay, what's the next? I'm going to take off my shirt. There isn't going to be any border when it comes to modesty. Whatever reason you bring, it can be whatever. It can be summer, it can be winter. But
mm-hmm.
again, where is the border? There is no border when you say a free society where there is no rule. There must be rule. Even in the in the most free society that is conceived in this world, Paris, in France, right? You can't go out naked with your entire body naked. There are only specific places This is the law of the country. Mm. Only specific places that they claim that you can go out naked there. Yeah. Right? In the streets where the rights of the people lie, where the rights of the youths lie, there is they've set a guideline. They've said, okay, probably you can take off your shirt, but you have to wear your pants. You have to hide your, for example, private parts.
Yeah.
There is a border. There is a law.
So I'm talking about this border, actually. This is my question. Who will choose this border?
This comes back to our fundamental ideology of who is the one who decides the law of the country, law of the people, law of the person. Mm-hmm. Right? When we take the ideology of, for example, secularism, or, you know, just considering things, that, you know, man-made law. Let me make it as simple as this. Man-made
mm-hmm.
law.
Mm-hmm.
When we consider man-made law, then man makes a law in the country. He makes a law. The people come in the parliament, they make the law, and they legislate it. But when we have the ideology of, look, man is a creation of God Almighty, and God Almighty knows the mechanism of this creation. He knows what he has created. He is Hakim. And this is not the place where we discuss the ideology, but let's take it for granted that God Almighty is Hakim. He's wise enough to consider what is right and wrong for the people. He does not see the personal benefit of one person. He sees the benefit of the entire society. He will decide exactly what should be worn and what should not be worn. And this is, I'm telling you, there are many things that God Almighty sees right and wrong. And it is in the instinct nature of the people, the fitrah of the people itself. If you look at the past civilizations, the pictures from the civilizations from before this one, you will see all of them, all the women had a form of headscarf.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in the Indian civilization, even the Roman civilization, Chinese civilization, they all had a form of headscarf.
Yeah, exactly. And I got it. You know, you're just telling me, okay, there is a border. And if you're going to talk about this, okay, it's like, okay, all the countries around the world have some dress codes, have some limitations, have some everything. And there are some reasons that you have to be adapted to these kind of social systems, you know mm-hmm. what? But the inner desire that we have about freedom. I mean, I'm not going to go through this word of freedom, no, at all. But the thing is, I'm telling you that some people are like, okay, why should I actually adapt myself to something that I don't want to choose? Rather, Ali, just, yeah. I want you.
First of all, I'd like to say that no one says that the hijab is exclusively wearing chador. But chador is an ideal way of performing hijab, right? Second, the limits of hijab for the people, for men or women, have been actually portrayed very clearly in the Holy Quran. That, for example, ladies, their faces only and their hands can be seen, and the other parts of the body should be covered. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say necessarily it has to be with a charter thing, something. Okay, so if a person actually obliges herself to wear charter, is something that she wants to have a sort of, let's say, ideal observation of the case. But secondly, when you said that, you actually brilliantly, I think you mentioned that, why should we actually cover ourselves and put the veils on ourselves while men are going to look at us? So why shouldn't men stop the eyes from watching, for example, the non-mahrams? If we want to answer this question, we have to say that first, it is going to downgrade the whole issue and the importance of it. Because the natural instinctive of the human beings is at its own place. So when we are talking about it, it does not mean that when we are talking about the social lives of the people, it does not mean that, okay, people have to stop even their instinctives and, okay, do their own job and we are going to be free. So again, the right of people are going to be violated here. Look, even if the people are not going to have nasty look at the ladies or women, even if,
mm-hmm.
I mean, with bad intentions, even if with in a good intention, the kind of, let's say, this look, this gazing at these ladies who are without hijab is haram. So again, this hurma, this prohibition is on whom? I mean, if the person is going to commit a sin, who is actually the cause of this sin? So again, we find that in a society, the right of some people, due to the action of others, is going to be violated. So I'm committing a sin while I did not purposely wanted to commit that, right?
Yeah.
So again, we see that everything should be in its own place. Instinctive is already there. And also, if it is not the matter of instinctive, even, the kind of look without intention is haram for all the duty-bound people.
I understand what you mean.
To add to the points that Mr. Ali was saying, we talk about freedom in society, and it's always the case that freedom is affiliated to very specific rules, not all the rules. Why don't you talk about freedom and say, let me drive however I want. I'm just going to drive the way I like. I'm going to drive in this city. I'm going to drive at 200 kilometers per hour. You will never say that. You will never hear this statement coming from a person who's proposing freedom for a dress code. The same way for the preservance of the right of others, we have the laws of traffic laws and other such laws. We have the hijab as well. And hijab, like I said, you see, unfortunately, we have specific laws for female in hijab. Hijab is also for the men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions about hijab in the Quran, he first says, tell the men to lower their gaze. The hijab of male comes before the hijab of the female. Lower your gaze, brother. That's the first step.
Yeah.
Right? The second step, Allah says, then tell the women to put on their veil. Why? Because once when the male lowers their gaze, no matter how much the woman tries to portray herself, she fails. Mm-hmm. And the society is preserved. Likewise, on the other side, there are definitely going to be males who are, we can't be idealistic thinking that always and all the time there are going to be good men outside. Mm-hmm. There are people who are have bad intentions outside in the streets. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the male to lower their gaze. He tells the woman, put on your veils. Because even if some male have, bad intention against you, at least you are preserved by yourself.
One last point to finalize the whole discussion, to actually summarize what we have been talking about. Look, the story is even beyond these things. Because a city, let's say an ideal city, an ideal Islamic city, who's going to be a good bet for the spirituality and promoting the sense of religiosity inside the people, mm-hmm. and which is a healthy society, in which this society is going to actually behave people for valid and, let's say, decent relations, should not be a cause of reaching to immoral issues. And this is the duty of government to establish such rules and such legislations to prepare pave the ground for the practice of the religion.
Yeah, I understand it. Thank you, Brother Ali and Brother Emmett, for here with me and talking about this issue, which somehow is so controversial in modern life. And so, dear listeners, we talked about the obligatory hijab and the reasons that why you have to be committed to these rules in your religion. And I was convinced, I wish you just enjoyed our conversation of today, too. Thank you for listening to the episode of today. This is IRIB English Radio Viewpoints. I leave you in the warm embrace of God. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفعة أنا لها